It is Wednesday, May the 1st. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Initially wanted to just give a quick shout out to the patrons of the show. A new patron joined on this week. So thank you so much, Casey, for joining. Also want to give a shout out to Alyssa, to Brian, to Sarah, Adrian, Stan, Kristen, Sarah, Helen, Arnie, Barb, and Kim. So these 12 people, I can't believe there's a dozen people across the world that contribute a monthly amount to this show, essentially to show their financial support. It's very, very heartwarming. So thank you so much for all of the love and all of the support that you are showing the podcast. So if you want a little bit more information on Patreon and becoming a patron of the show, go to Patreon, patreon.com/ The Mind and Fitness Podcast. And basically what Patreon is, it's a place for creators. So if you've got like a YouTube show, or maybe you do some sketch comedy, or maybe you've got a podcast, or you make music, and people get enjoyment and value out of what it is that you do, but ultimately there's equipment costs, there is the time that's a portion of it. It costs money to be able to actually publish the show and have it hosted online. So there's all sorts of these little things here. And for a passion project where there's not advertising, there's not sponsors, there's not things like that, people would love to contribute. And so this is the option to do it. So there are people that are throwing forth $2 per month, and there are people that are throwing forth $25 or $35 per month to support the show. So any amount is helpful ultimately. What the cash is currently working towards is a new microphone, one that is right now. I got a couple of cheaper handheld mics. I think I paid, I don't know, $25, $30 each for them. But I would love to be able to get a headset mic with a little bit better boom on it as well. And then I'm using a Zoom H4n Pro recorder right now, but it only allows for two inputs, which means that I can only interview one person at a time. And there's been some instances where I've been thinking of that I would love to be able to interview more than one person at a time. So Zoom sells the H6 recorder, which I think allows me to have up to three additional people on. So it would be pretty awesome to be able to have something like that. So those are just some things that are going to be reinvested back into the show whenever I reach the threshold that's needed to get those things. So, you know, before I got into the show today, which is going to be a relatively short show, and I'll tell you why here in a couple of minutes. But I wanted to open with talking a little bit about Nicole Sachs's Omega Retreat. So I don't know how, because I feel like I talk about her on every episode, but if you don't know who Nicole Sachs is, she is a licensed clinical social worker. She's out of the Northeast, out of Delaware, I believe. But she has the book, The Meaning of Truth. You can buy it on Amazon. It's wonderful. She's been a great resource for me over the last couple of years. But ultimately, to me, there's Sarno, there's Ozanich, there's Sachs. Those are kind of like the three biggest pillars of the entire genre to me when it comes to the mind, body, health. And anytime that I am talking to, if there is a female, but two, a parent that is ever asking me about ways to heal themselves or alleviate their symptoms from chronic pain, I always put them towards Nicole's work, because I feel like it very much deals with the pressures that come along with being a parent, the pressures that come along with being a female. I feel like though it may not seem that different, I think maybe the differences could be subtle, but I think that it's really important to hear from both sides of it. She's really the biggest and most powerful voice from the feminine side. No other books written by women or by a woman are even coming to mind to me right now. So if there are maybe ones that I'm not thinking of, by all means, shoot those my way. But Nicole Sachs is doing this retreat at the Omega Institute. So basically, it's let me just read about the event. So discover how the release of repressed emotions can lead to a mind-body transformation and free you from chronic pain. Understanding the mind-body connection is key to freeing ourselves from the protective mechanism by which the brain and the nervous system create chronic pain. When repressed emotions are allowed to surface, the body settles into an equilibrium that eliminates pain signals sent into fight or flight mode. Once the nervous system perceives safety instead of danger, pain signals to muscle groups, nerves, and other systems simply cease to fire. This is going to be guided by Nicole Sachs and her assistant teachers. Allow yourself to discover precisely how to invite these repressed feelings to rise, leading to an entire mind-body transformation. Through discussion, meditation, art therapy, energy work, yoga, and other healing practices, you'll be able to establish a bedrock foundation for long-lasting wellness. Nicole is very, very dear to me. I actually called upon her when my second daughter was born at the beginning of last year because I was having problems with my older daughter, who I think was just having trouble adjusting to having another kid in the house. And Nicole gave us an amazing tip that ultimately helped the relationship with my oldest daughter. And I forever am grateful to her for that. But Nicole is very intelligent, and she has her own podcast on Fridays, gets released, The Cure for Chronic Pain. You can find it on iTunes. She actually uses the same distribution service that I use, Audioboom, so you can find it on Audioboom. You can find it on iTunes. It's got well into the hundreds of reviews at this point. So people are raving about it all over the world. So Nicole has helped heal hundreds of people around the world, probably more than that, that have generously shared her work and written Amazon reviews and all sorts of things. She's definitely one in a million kind of a person. So that's what I'll say. The date for Omega, by the way, and I'm going to link this in the show notes, but basically, it's coming up at the end of July. And actually, Nicole had asked me if I would be interested in appearing, and I had to turn it down ultimately. It's July 21st through the 26th in Rhinebeck, New York, at the Omega Institute. And the reason I had to turn it down is I'm doing a motorcycle trip with my buddies at the end of July that we've been planning. It feels like we've been planning this thing for years, but we started talking about a really long trip about a year ago, and finally we are doing it at the end of July. So, Nicole, best of luck to you with the workshops and with the event. I know that it's going to be awesome. But in any event, go check out Nicole's work. And like I said, I will link this in the show notes so you can feel free to scroll down and click on this and check it out and learn more about it. As far as the show this week, so it's really just going to be a little bit of storytelling that is really interesting. So I have talked about in the last several episodes about a daily practice that I do that is kind of a journal. It's kind of a journal. It's sort of like basically where Nicole Sachs's work meets Adam Heller's work. So Nicole Sachs wrote The Meaning of Truth. Adam Heller wrote Zero Pain Now. Adam Heller's approach is very much, what emotion am I feeling? And his thought is through repetition and repetition, you're teaching the subconscious brain a new pattern, essentially to not repress emotions and always be able to label them. Nicole believes in a daily journaling practice. So taking 20 minutes to be able to do this type of an approach is very, very pivotal. And so one thing that I do when I'm doing this is that ultimately I zero in and I close my eyes and I focus on certain parts of my body. This is a somatic exercise basically, but I'll zero in on my chest. I'll zero in on my neck, kind of where my collarbone is. And sometimes I'll go to the gut, but not very often. And I've talked on this show before that a lot of my problems when they were not getting terrible, but when like the dairy allergy showed up and the intolerance issue showed up and the IBS showed up, obviously originated in the gut. And so Thursday of last week, I was doing my regular practice, 20 minutes a day, and I chose to zero in on my stomach and start getting into some really raw stuff that I was writing about and thinking about as I was doing this and feeling. And my stomach sort of tightened up for a second, and I definitely felt some movement. Something happened. Something shifted. This was probably around 4 o'clock, maybe 4 p.m. Last Thursday. And then I woke up at 11:30, so you know, 6 hours later. I probably went to bed around 10 that night. Woke up at 11:30 with the most terrible stomach pains I've ever encountered in my life, ever. Like, worse than the flu, worse than food poisoning, and it was just violent projectile vomiting every hour and diarrhea for hours on end. I finally grabbed the strength to get up and go to the urgent care at around, I don't know, 10:30 or 11 a.m. the next day. And the medical assistant came in and said, you know, you don't look so well. My color was off. Had no fever. My fever was like, you know, 98.7 or something like that. My temperature was 98.7 or something along those lines. So no fever to speak of. It was just really strange because the symptoms were not aligning with how it was that I was feeling. But she handed me a, I had said, hey, like, if I need to throw up here, where, you know, where do I do it? There's a massive garbage can that's right in front of me, but it's, you know, it's, I don't want to call it like a nice garbage can. I don't know if that even exists, but it was a massive steel one that didn't look like they would want to get vomit all over it or in it. And so she handed me a barf bag basically. And she steps out of the room for a second. And then, I mean, it was 30 seconds later. I just could not stop. And it has like little ounce tickers on the side. It was 22 ounces of projectile. This might be TMI. And if you don't like graphic details, maybe shut this one off. But 22 ounces of, I thought that I was done. I'd been dry heaving for the last several hours by this point. 22 ounces of just, again, violent projectile over and over. Doctor walks in. She was like, whoa, like, you know, couldn't believe what she was seeing the tail end of. And, you know, she pressed on my gut a little bit. I wasn't like overly sensitive. I was just kind of tight. And, I didn't have a fever. I didn't have chills. I didn't have anything that was really associated with the flu. She had said foodborne illness, just with how quickly it had happened. She, prescribed me some anti-nausea medicine and then, told me to drink Pedialyte and basically hydrate and chill out. And so I go home and I'm chilling out the rest of the night and my temperature goes to 100 point something later on that night. She calls me the next day, next morning, asks how I was doing. I said my temperature went up and but it had come back down since. It was like 99.5 or something. And she said, okay, well, you know, keep an eye on that. And if it goes up again, you should probably come in. And by 5 or 6 o'clock that night, it got to about 103 degrees. Urgent care was closed. All the walk-in clinics were closed. I did not want to go to a hospital or an ER for that. I felt if it goes up again, then if it keeps going up and it gets to 104, 105, then we'll cross that bridge when we come there. But it was really bad. And I started thinking like, okay, well, she said I didn't have a fever and I didn't have the chills and stuff like that, so it couldn't have been the flu. You know, food poisoning, you don't normally get this really super delayed and elevated fever to this degree. Like, I've had food poisoning before. It did not shake out like this, basically. By Sunday, my temperature had gotten down to 100 and 100.5 or 100.7 or something like that. So I basically grabbed my journal Sunday night, grabbed my journal, and went right back to the exact same spot, same type of stuff that I was journaling about on Thursday, the last time that I did it. I zeroed in on those spots on my stomach that I was before. I wake up the next day on Monday and, you know, symptoms are gone. I go to the gym, I ride my motorcycle, I have my work day, I do all that, you know, almost as if nothing had happened. I was eating food again, and it was just really weird how everything came to be like that. So I guess if anything, maybe this episode is a little bit about the symptom imperative. And a lot of times when people talk about their path to healing or the different things that they do to heal themselves, I think they get a little worried because they, you know, maybe they get an initial relief from their symptoms and then their symptoms get way worse the more that they address this stuff. And then they kind of get back into that fear and panic cycle. Though I got into a little bit of a fear cycle for a day and a half, ultimately I was in too much pain to even have that much fear about anything because, you know, I couldn't sit there and Google symptoms. In fact, I looked at the screen time on my iPhone and it was like under an hour for a couple of days there, you know, simply just because I didn't have the energy or the desire to look up symptoms. I just couldn't even do it. And so I didn't ultimately get locked in that cycle. But I think that by Sunday, when that fever had dropped a couple degrees, maybe a couple of years ago, I would have definitely gone to Google and looked at gallbladder or looked at small intestine or looked at IBS or different things like that, and probably would have continued going down this cycle, not even knowing what's going on, but making an appointment with a gastroenterologist or something like that. In this case, I knew exactly where to go, and the ultimate answer was right back to the emotions. Like, that's the biggest part of it, repressing something. And most of us, it's going to be anger, it's going to be rage, it's going to be sadness, it's going to be resentment, jealousy, like the bad stuff, the shadow side of us, the shadow work, if you will. And really, maybe the more that we dig into that, maybe there's like an initial pushback because it's like, hey, and I think about like the the oblivious white girl in the horror movie who walks down into the basement. And you know, there, she goes down there unarmed after hearing this loud noise. And ultimately, like, she gets attacked by the monster, whatever the case is. Like, that's totally what the person inside of me that was writing basically was doing. Like, I'm banging on a door. Do you really want to go there, Eddie? Do you really want to be journaling about these things that are existing inside of your, where the tension is in your belly right now? And my body was telling me, maybe you don't want to know about that stuff. And ultimately gave me the symptom. But I had to face that stuff again on Sunday by writing about it. I did it yesterday again. I did it today. I don't have the symptoms. I went to Chipotle for lunch. I had my breakfast earlier. You know, I feel good again. And so being able to ultimately face those fears, not just with an example like this, but if you're sitting there and you're in a ton of pain and you don't feel like you can do your work, like, ultimately that's going to be the way to get past it. I've said it before that when people get, we hear these stories about people getting attacked by grizzly bears out in the wild. They're going out on a hike, they get attacked by a bear, playing dead, the bear walks away. And to me, it's really no different than this. I mean, this fight or flight reaction is really what you're in. And like I said earlier, when I was talking about Nicole's Omega retreat, ultimately when you're stuck in fight or flight, all bets are off on all the systems in your body. So we think about like the autonomic nervous system. That's the one that's talked about the most, but endocrine system. And we can also talk about even the digestive system. I used to do sports performance coaching for athletes. So CrossFitters, weightlifters, powerlifters that were preparing or training for competition, basically, I would do advisement for them. A company paid me a consulting fee, and I would work with their clients, with their subscribers, to be able to get them macro numbers and coach them through diets and things like that for training. And a lot of the times what I would talk about is elevated cortisol in the body and ultimately having a very stress-induced life, whether that's you're putting too much pressure on yourself training in the gym or you're just putting too much pressure on yourself in life in general. And that ultimately this was going to adversely affect the levels of cortisol in your body, thus your ability to ever be able to drop weight or cut weight for a competition. And this is really no different. If you're in an elevated sense of fight or flight, you're not digesting your food properly, you're not going to be able to lose weight. So to me, the thought of like the very slow metabolism, especially when somebody turns 30 and they can't lose weight the way that they used to, that aligns pretty well with Dr. Sarno talking about the age of 30 beginning those ages of responsibility and people sort of being overwhelmed, fight or flight system being a little bit more elevated. I mean, to me, they're one and the same. This just means that your systems are down-regulating a little bit. So what you need to be able to do is remove those negative emotions that are sitting in the basement right now that are activating your fight or flight and throwing your different systems out of whack. Because once your body returns to homeostasis, those symptoms no longer are going to be triggered. Those different systems in your body are no longer going to be triggered, and you're going to be able to be healed and feel as if you were 18 again. So just keep those kind of things in mind. That's all that I have for this week. Again, super short. I didn't have the planning time that I normally would have for because I was laid up in bed from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then into the end of Sunday. But ultimately, I thought this would be pretty impactful. Next week on the show is Dan Buglio. We've already recorded the interview. We actually recorded the interview the day that I got very, very sick. So, and if you notice in that interview that drops next week, I was talking about gallbladder issues. And so it's interesting that I journaled towards my belly, which is where the gallbladder is located. And I was getting very gallbladder-esque types of symptoms in terms of the gurgling and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. The more that I work in this, the less I think that coincidences even exist, basically. But go check out Nicole Sachs's Omega Institute page. Again, I'm going to link it in this in the description. Check out her podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. I've recommended a whole ton of her episodes, but it airs every Friday. There's always really great bits of nuggets. Typically, those episodes are pretty short, somewhere between 20 and 30 minutes. It's worth the time on a Friday. Why the hell not? Thanks, everybody, so much for listening. Thanks to the patrons of the show. I love you all. Thank you so much.